Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone tonight. We have a few visitors in our presence, and we definitely are thankful for your presence, and we welcome you, and hope you get to come back with us at any other opportunity that you have. And we're thankful for the members who are here. We always enjoy coming to worship with my brothers and sisters here at O'Neill. Tonight, I want to talk to you on the topic of Satan's strategies. And this, the topic of this was brought to me by Brother Joe, and he asked me to, hey, let's have this lesson on Satan's strategies. And so tonight, we're going to talk for a little bit about Satan's strategies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we find before verse 11, we find Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians there, and he's writing them, and he's telling them that he didn't really want them. He says that I would not be made sad by those who should be making me happy. He had felt that all would share in his joy, and he was glad that he was writing to them, but he was doing it out of love. And so he writes to them, and in verse 5, he's talking to them, telling them about someone in their group had caused sadness. And this individual, he said, not the sadness wasn't to him, but the sadness was to all of them. And he was telling them that, I mean that he's caused sadness to all in some way, he said. He said, I don't want it to make it sound worse than it really is, but the punishment of the group had given him was enough. He said, that's enough for him. And he goes on and he says, but now you should forgive him, you should encourage him, this will keep you from having too much sadness and giving up completely. So he's begging them to show that love for them. And he says, this is why I'm writing to you. And I wanted to test you to see if you are actually obeying in everything that has been commanded. And he says, if you forgive someone, then you're going to be forgiven. And he says, what I have forgiven, if I had anything to forgive, he says, is that I forgave it to you. And Christ was with me, he said. And Christ was with him when he was doing that forgiveness. And he said, he did this so that Satan would not win anything from us, so that we will know his very plans. Let's look at verse 11 again. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Another version says, "For Satan will not outwit us, that we are not unaware of his schemes." And again, in the other version here, I did this so Satan would not win anything. We know very well what his plans are. So, if you thinking about that verse and thinking about knowing Satan and knowing and not being ignorant of his schemes, of his devices, of his strategies. Have you heard of this before? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So what does that mean? Always knowing what your enemy is doing. Knowing your enemy very well. What is the enemy doing that brings hurt into my life? What is my enemy doing that was going to cause division in my family? You see, when we can answer those questions, then we can know how to protect ourselves from them. So when we think about that, and we think about Luke chapter 19, verse 43, when we think about when he says, "For the day shall come unto thee that your enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and they will compass thee around and keep thee in on every side." So think about that. There's going to be a time when your enemies, they're going to either dig a trench or they're going to build a wall around you so they can keep you on every side, so they can have you trapped. Think of that as what Satan does to us. He encompasses us. He makes us feel like we are on an island, we are alone. And that's when he has opportunity to take advantage of us. When we think about the devil, when we think about Satan, we have to remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We have to be able to control ourselves. We have to be very careful, because the devil is our enemy. And he does have a strategy. And that strategy is, he is walking around. He is looking. He is seeking which one of us that he is going to attack, which one he is going to devour. When you think about a lion, you think about a lion and what they do. They stalk their food. Here these lions are. They have their eye set on the prey. And as you can see, these wild beasts, they see and they are very aware that these are lions. But see, even knowing that, the lions cause confusion. Lions cause unrest. Lions cause anxiety. And what happens? Panic starts to happen. The herds begin to run, running wildly in every direction, most of them staying together. But the confusion causes some of the animals to not stay with the group. This leaves them very vulnerable, and it's in the lion takes advantage of that vulnerability. See, the purpose of that hunt, the purpose of that strategy is to kill. He wants his prey. And Satan, my friends, is no different. What did I say in 1 Peter 5, verse 8? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. He walks about Alabama seeking whom he may devour. He walks about Athens, Alabama, seeking whom he may devour. He walks about O'Neill, Church of Christ, seeking whom he may devour. We have to realize that Satan is coming after God's children. You see, in those strategies, one of the strategies that he uses is that of struggles, is that of adversity. He uses struggles to get us down. He uses struggles to make us feel weak. He uses troubles and struggles to cause unrest and anxiety, which causes us to lose our focus, causes us to venture away from the fold, which causes us to find protection in places that aren't with the shepherd. Think about Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, when you were the shepherd, you're not going to want for anything. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He says what? I will fear no evil. Why? Why is he not afraid of what's out there? Because he says, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen to this. He even prepares a table before them in the presence of the enemies. You're going to put me in the middle of the lion? And no fear. Because we know that God is with us. Struggles oftentimes, they knock us flat of our backs when they should be knocking us down to our knees. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, listen to this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We have to wait sometimes when we're going through struggles, when we're going through adversity. We've got to have patience. Because when we wait on the Lord and He gives us strength, He's going to renew that strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's in Him that we can have that peace. We can have that comfort even when Satan is on us. When we have went to the side and he is on our heels. God is with you. God is with me. In James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive that crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. What did he say? He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who, when he's tried, because he's going to receive that crown of life
when we endure the temptation. When you think about Israel, thinking about Israel and what God said to Israel, when listen to what He told them. When thou passest through the waters, when you're going through the waters, I will be there. I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, He tells them, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What comfort Israel had to have had, knowing that God, that He was going to be there with them. They had no fears. How do we respond when we go through struggles? How do we respond when we go, when we look at that Satan's strategy of going through adversity, going through struggles? There's a story of a young woman. She went to her mother, and she's talking to the mother about her life and how things were so hard for her, and she didn't know how she was going to make it, and she just wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting. She was tired of struggling. It seemed as one problem was solved, here comes another problem. Her mother takes her to the kitchen. She fills three pots with water, and she turns it up on high, and she lets it start boiling. And then when it starts boiling, the mother places into the first one, she places in some carrots. In the second container, she places in some eggs. In the third container, she places in some coffee beans. And so about 20 minutes or so, the mom goes over, she cuts off the stove. She finishes and she gets the carrots out and she pulls the eggs out and she takes some coffee out and puts it into a bowl and she turns to her daughter and she says, what do you see? What do you see in these? Carrots, eggs, and coffee. She replied and her mother brought her, she said, come here a little closer. Feel the carrots. She did. She said, the carrots are soft. And she asked her to look at the egg. Takes out the egg, she breaks it, and after she pulls the shell off, she observes there's a hard-boiled egg there. Finally, the mother asks her to sip some of the coffee. The daughter smiles, and she tastes the rich aroma, and the daughter said, what does this mean? What does this mean? Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity. All three of them had been in the boiling water. All three of them. The carrot, the egg, and the coffee bean. But what happens? How do they respond? You see, the carrot went in strong. The carrot went in hard. The carrot went in unrelenting. But you see, after being subjected to that boiling water, what happens to that strong carrot? It becomes softened. It becomes weak. What about the egg? The egg, it was very fragile. It had a thin shell. It protected the liquid inside. But after sitting through that boiling water, after going through that same adversity, it becomes hardened. What about the coffee bean? The coffee bean was unique to all of these because after they were boiling the water, the coffee beans changed the water, which are you. When you go through a struggle, when you go through adversity, are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean? He says, when adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? Which am I? Matt, which one is Matt Taylor when he goes through, has some struggles he's dealing with? Which one would I be? Am I the carrot that seems strong, but through the pain and adversity, it wilts and becomes soft and loses strength? Am I the egg that starts off with this malleable heart but changes with the heat? Do I have a fluid spirit and after a death, a breakup, financial hardship, or some other trial, have I become hardened and stiff? Does my shell look the same but on the inside I'm bitter and tough with a stiff spirit and a hardened heart? Or am I like the coffee bean? The bean that actually changes the water. The bean that actually changes the water in the very circumstances that brings the pain. That very circumstance that brought the pain to all three things. When the water gets hot, what does the coffee bean do? It releases fragrance. It releases flavor. And if you're like the bean, when things are at its worst, you get better and you change the situation around you.
When life, when you have, at the hour is the darkest and trials are the greatest, do you elevate yourself? Or are you taken down? Which are you? When we look here in Psalms chapter 34, verses 17 through 18, thinking about which one we are, and when we're going through trials and when we're going through struggles, you sometimes feel like, you know, we feel like we're alone. Because that's what Satan wants you to feel like. He wants you to feel like you are alone. But we have to remember in Psalms 34, he says, the righteous cry and the Lord hears. Delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of the broken heart. And saves such as to be of a contrite spirit. When you feel like you are thrown into the fiery flames of struggle, in the fiery flames of adversity, you have to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not alone. And they were in the fire, literally in the fire. Sometimes when we're going through adversity, when we're going through difficulty, and we wonder, where is God? We have to remember that the teacher is always quiet during the test. When we go through this, people are on the outside looking at us. Looking at me, what do people see in Matt Taylor? When Matt is struggling, when Matt has got some adversity, what do people see? We often feel sometimes we're pulled in so many directions. We go through so many different emotions. We go through so many. Sometimes we feel like we're just being squeezed until we almost not pop. But just remember, whatever comes out is what's on the inside. Whatever comes out is on the inside. And that's what people see. Sometimes the words that come out of our mouth is not always the best. The actions that we display sometimes causes us to stumble. Sometimes causes others to stumble. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. And if any man offends not in word, the same as the perfect man, they will also bridle the whole body. I don't know if there's anybody in here that can bridle their tongue. Has total control of it. We can strive. And that's what we're supposed to do. But see, what comes out when we don't want it to, when we know that's what shouldn't come out, but it comes out anyhow, that's when the world says and sees, if that person's a Christian, I don't want any part of Christianity. If that person goes to church, I don't want to go there. Satan tries to find our weakest moments, and he uses those moments, he tries to use those moments to devour us. But we cannot let him win. So what do they see? What do they see in us? When we look at Philippians chapter 2, 13 through 16, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's God, he wants us to work the good in us, to do his will, to do things that are pleasures to him. He wants us to be blameless. He wants us to be harmless. He wants us to be called the sons of Him. He wants us to be without rebuke. He wants us, all those good things said about us, in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation. He wants those things said about us. What does He say He wants? He wants us to shine as lights in the world. When you and I are going through struggles, when we are going through adversity, He wants us to be the light. He wants us to be the light that shines. He wants us to hold on to His words because His words are the words of life. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see then that none render evil for evil unto any man. We don't want to get back at anybody else because they've done something to us. But we want to follow that which is good. Not only for ourselves, but also to all men. When we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we want to be that chosen generation. We want to be called that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people, that special people, that people that shows forth the praises of Him that's called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That's what we want others to see. We want others to see that we are that light, that we are praising Him. But what example
does the world see when we're going through those struggles, when we're going through those adversities? You see, sometimes, even sometimes I make Satan proud by how I've reacted to something. See, Satan encourages those moments of weakness to be the world's excuses for not attending services. He uses our moments of weakness to be the world's excuses for not becoming a Christian. He uses our weaknesses for the world to say, you know what, I don't want to be faithful anymore. I'm just not coming anymore. Those excuses that he uses, those moments that he allowed, they use those excuses of us when they see us, how we react to things. Many years ago, a wealthy man went duck hunting with his hired hand, Sam, and they took a horse and carriage, and the wheel fell off, and Sam had to get out and fix the wheel. And in doing so, he hits his finger, and Sam lets out some bad words. And immediately he falls down to the ground, and he starts asking God for forgiveness. He starts praying and saying, please forgive me for what I've done. And he says, Lord, it's difficult at times to live a Christian life. And in the middle of his prayer, the other man says, well, Sam, I know you're a Christian, but you tell me why you're struggling so. If you're a Christian, why are you struggling? I'm an atheist, and I don't have that problem. Sam really doesn't know what to say. But then two ducks fly along. And the old gentleman takes out his gun. He shoots the ducks. And they go flutter. One starts trying to escape, fluttering and desperately to escape. And the other one, Sam goes, you know, I got my answer. You said my Christianity isn't any good because I have to struggle so. Well, I'm the wounded duck. And I struggle to get away from the devil. But boss, you're the dead duck. We struggle. We're humans. We're going to struggle. I would rather be a struggling, wounded duck than a dead duck any day. And when I look at that, I think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Think about what he said. And he said, for we know that the law is spiritual. He says, but I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. For what am I doing? I don't understand, he says. But what I will to do, that I don't mean practice. What I will to do, I'm not even practicing that. And what I hate, he says, I'm doing the things that I hate. And if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I don't find. For the good that I will to do, I don't do it. I know there's good to do, and I don't do that good. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin dwells in me. And I find then that the law, that is evil, is present in me, the one who wills to do good. In verse 22, he says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see the other law of my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of the sin which is in my members. What is he saying? He's saying, I am struggling. I'm having a war inside of me. I want to do what's right, but I keep doing what's wrong. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that Matt Taylor is. Who is going to deliver me from the body of death? I've always said this about myself, and I think I've probably mentioned this in class before, but we are all a work in progress. We are striving to be like the one who is the answer to that question. Oh, wretched man that I am, who is it that's going to deliver me? You see, it's Jesus Christ. What does he say? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the one who's going to deliver me from the struggles, from my adversity. That's going to be the one who delivers me So tonight I'm asking you, are you struggling? Are you going through adversity? Are you struggling with Satan? Are you struggling with sin? Are you struggling with your faith? Are you struggling with life? Remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. Remember that Jesus knows and He cares. He is the shelter in time of storm. He will hear you when you call. He is our rock in a weary land. He is tenderly calling you home. God is calling the prodigal home. If you aren't a Christian, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Oh, why not tonight, as we stand and as